Okay. So when we read about, you know, Lot and the destruction of Sodom, we know Hashem sends malachim, he sends angels to destroy Sodom. And the pasuk tells us, Yutet Chav Zayin, Vayishkem Avraham Baboker El HaMakom Asher Amad Sham Es Pnei Hashem. Avram got up early in the morning to the place where he had stood before Hashem. Vayishkofa Al Pnei Sodom Va'amora Va'al Kol Pnei Aretz Hakikar Vayar. And he gazed upon Sodom and Amorah and the entire surface of the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the earth rose like the smoke of a kiln. And so it was when Hashem destroyed the cities of the plain that Hashem remembered Abraham. So what did he do? He sent Lot from amidst the upheaval, which he overturned the cities in which Lot had lived. And Rashi, so basically, Hashem is, obviously we know the story, Hashem is upset with what's going on in Sodom. He wants to destroy Sodom and Amor and overturn it. But yet he remembers Avraham, and therefore, what does he do? He saves Lot, who lived in these cities. And Rashi asks, Mahu zechirato shel Avraham al Lot? You know, what does the remembrance of Avraham have to do with Lot? Lot knew that Sarah was Abraham's wife. And when they went down to Mitzrayim, Lot heard that Abraham had told them, oh, she's my sister. And even though Lot heard this, that Abraham said, oh, Sarah is my sister, he had rachmanas, he didn't say anything, and therefore, mida keneged mida, measure for measure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had pity on Lot. And therefore, obviously, he saved him. And the Maharal, in his Perush in the Gor Aryeh, he quotes the question of the Ra'im, Rav Elio Mizrahi. And he says, V'ksheha Ra'im, t'mai kushiya hizos, t'vaday Abraham, Haya ohiv es Lot, v'haya rodif acharei hamalachim b'shvilo, v'haya lo ad shemasar nafsho olav. He's like, what is this question? You know, of course, meaning, what's the question? The question that, what's the inyan of Zechira, remembering that Avraham and therefore saving Lot? He says, well, of course we know, we look back at the stories, and we know Avraham loved Lot. Lot was his nephew, right? And what happened? Avraham ran after the kings in order to save Lot, and he risked his life for Lot. Obviously, Avraham would be greatly affected if Lot were killed in the hafecha, in the overturning of Sodom and Amorah. Furthermore, the Re'im writes, "Madu lo amar shenizkar hatova she'asa Lot la'Avraham she'azav artzo, makom moladeto v'alach acharav v'chol makom shalach." And furthermore, the Re'im says, "Well, if you're going to just say that, oh, you know, when bring down the story with Sarah and Avraham and Mitzrayim, why don't we mention that Lot left his birthplace, he left his hometown, and he followed Avraham, right? And he followed him wherever he went. B'chol makom shehalach. Aval hiniyach hatova hagdola hazos ve'yishiv al shachas al Avraham v'lo gila shaita sara ishto. And but what does Rashi bring down? What is the thing that Lot did? He had pity on Avraham, and he didn't reveal, oh, that Avraham wasn't exactly telling the whole story when he said, oh, by the way, Sarah's my sister. Shazu ain't a tova. Like, if we think about it, is that really such a tova? Is that really such a nice thing? Ella shaloh haralov. It wasn't that he did good for him, but rather he didn't do bad to him. Shaza afilu ha'oyiv la'avram kol yomav lo'ya megaleh so kazeh. Shagiluyav sibalamitato. Meaning, if you think about it, even someone who was Avram's enemy wouldn't have revealed such a secret, because you know what would be the outcome of revealing such a secret? Death. Avram would have been killed. So are we really going to say, you know what, Lot did such a good tova, he did such a great thing to Avram? No, he just didn't do something bad. In fact, someone who really didn't like Avram probably wouldn't have done such a bad thing to him, because by knowing that, correcting him and saying, oh no, that's not the whole story, off with his head, Avram would have been killed. The Maharal says, "Ve'ein ze kushia." It's not a question. But devadai das razal ki lo yitachin tzchira shel Avram al Lot b'chol zeh. Ze'im shehaya krovo lo matzanu b'midas Hashem yivarach rachshu zocher chastei avos o b'no sheyatzam imenu aval lo ben achav haya. And you know, he says, you know, the idea of the remembrance, remembering Avram and therefore taking care of Lot, we can't connect it to that he's a family member, because we only find this concept of zechira, of remembering the father and saving the child, when it comes to schus avos, when it comes to a parent-child relationship, right? But Lot wasn't his son. Lot was his nephew. Lo shayach zechira b'zeh she'yomar v'yizkor Elokim et Avraham. And therefore, this zechira, this remembrance, would not be shayach. It wouldn't be connected to Lot at all. And like the pasuk says, that Hashem remembered Avraham. Zechira is only for fathers and children and fathers, vice versa. Zchus avos or zchus banim.
There's no reference to Tanakh, whether you see about family.
No, it's linear. Uh-huh. It's not, because, outside. You know, when you think about it, we're all really related. You know what I'm saying? We're all somebody's cousin's cousin. Mm-hmm. So, but the Zchus Avos is only, or Zchus Banim is only, you know, up or down. It's a linear line. Umikol shekein shayak harov v'netrachek. Shepirish kadmono shel olam sheamar yevshar ba'Avraham baloha velo shayach b'zeh zechirach klal. And furthermore, we know that Lot distanced himself from Avraham. He said, you go your way, I'm going this way. So then why would he have this merit of zechira, of remembrance because of Avraham? Umash halach imo v'azav arzo lo halach. And then what about the point that the Re'im brings? Well, you know, Lot left his birthplace and he followed Avraham, so isn't that a merit? Lo halak rach l'tovato. Tzahak asher yatzo me'or kazim k'tivik kach. So first of all, why did Lot follow Avraham? It wasn't out of a, you know, I owe you something, Avraham. It was for his own good. That's why Lot left. And furthermore, the pasuk says, v'yikach terach as Avraham b'no v'es Lot ben Haran b'no. V'yitzu l'lechad arta kanan. Hari tchilat yitziyato l'lechad arta kanan lo haya im Avraham rak im terach. V'afilu im hayazeh Shayatza ito, meaning even if you say, yeah, he actually he did go to follow, the pasuk tells us, who did he really go after? He wasn't going after Avraham. He originally left with Terach. Harei sof nitacharet upirish me Avraham ve'ein zchus lo bazeh. And in the end, it seems that there was some sort of regret because he parted ways from Avraham, and therefore there's no zchus, there's no merit for Lot in this. Amna Masha Ramzu Razal Masha Amrusha Shamalot Sha'avram Amar Al Sara Achot He Vishatak Hasodo Mi Sitre Torah Vihunit Ba'er B'Masha Mukhacham Zal Kiya Kalsto Panav Domelo. So he says what Chazal are remez, are merames, what they hint to in this whole scenario, that Avram said, oh, you know, Sarah is my sister, and Lot didn't say anything, was not just this lack of doing good or bad, but rather we're talking about the secrets of the Torah. They're hinting at something extremely deep here. We're not talking about a superficial story, because on that we ask, well, you know, even his enemy wouldn't have done such a terrible thing to him. And what is that? What does the Chachamim say, Bereishis Rabbah in the Medrash? That their klaster panav, the way Lot and Avraham looked, was domeh, was similar. Lot looked like Avraham. His face looked like Avraham. Kasher kasav Rabbah Parshas Lech Lecha Rashi v'hakavana l'razal bazeh. And what's the kavana? What's the intention that they looked similar? It was that they had the same DNA, they had the same genetics. Oh, you get your looks from your uncle, you know? What's the depth here? What are Chazal saying? Ki pnimiyut ha'inyan yeshalot sarufi yachus el Avraham. Afal gav de benigla hayalot piresh me Avraham. Yesh pnimiyut ha'inyan davar gadol sheyeshal yachus el Avraham. Saying on the depths of it, deep down in the pnimius, they are very similar. Even though on the external, on the base level, Lot took a step away from Avraham, Lot separated ways from Avraham, on the depths of it, deep down, they are very similar. Sharei lo ya megalasot Avraham upnimiyato. That he wasn't, and therefore he didn't reveal Avraham's pnimius, his secret, what was inside. It wasn't that just, oh, he was being nice, but on the inside, on the pnimius level, which we'll try to explain, they were very much alike. They were very much connected.
Lot was
Avraham. Avraham's brother's son. Avraham's brother Haran, his son was Lot. So he was his nephew. So yes, genetically they could have had the same DNA and they looked alike. But really what Chazal are mirames to, what they're hinting to, is on the pnimius level, on the deeper level, they are the same. They are very similar and they are very much connected. And it is for that reason that he didn't reveal his secret, his pnimius, because why? Lot is the same as Avraham. And Rav Hartman explains actually that the word panim, the Hebrew word that we use for face, is really comes from what word? Pinim, the inside. We know that very often we say, you know, a person's face or their eyes are the window to the soul, right? The face reflects really who a person is. And we see that in the actual word. It's not happenstance that the word panim and the word pnim are very similar, which tells us that because their panim, because their faces were similar, their pnim, their pnimius, their insides, their essence was similar. Like we say, the face, you know, can reflect the essence. And they were very much connected, and therefore Lot could not and would not reveal Abraham's secret. Va'anyan hazeh yesh lecha ladat ki ma she'omrim chachamim zal be pridas tovo cherata kadosh baruch hu otzi mehem malchus beistavich hu melot v'havein zeh. And it's based on this that we can understand what Chazal said, that there are two birds, two good birds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take out from Lot, which was Malchus beistavich. Meaning, we see really how much the pnimius, how much their innards, how much their essence was connected, and therefore, who comes from Lot's offsprings? Malchus Beis David, right? Rus. Obviously, it's not, again, there has to be something deeper here. If someone like that could come from Lot, it's a raya, it's a proof to us that yes, there must have been a great similarity and a great connection on the pnimius level to him and to Abraham. And we see that Lot was very much connected to Abraham, and they shared a very similar pnimius. And yet, he walks away from Abraham. He walks away from the life that Abraham leads, and he leads a very different life. He leaves the tent of Abraham, and he moves to where? To Sodom, which is the antithesis of Abraham's home and what he stood for. And yet we know that even though he left Abraham behind, Lot brought some of Abraham's values with him. The Pasuk Perek Yotzes, Pasuk Aleph says, Vayavo shnei hamalachim Sodoma ba'erev, Vilot Yoshev Vishar Sodom. And these two malachim, these two men, these two angels, come to Sodom in the evening. And Lot is sitting where? In the gate of Sodom. Vayar Lot vayakam lekratam, vayishtachavu apayim arza. And Lot gets up, he sees them, and he runs to greet them. And he bows down. Vayomar hinena adoni surna el beit avdechem, velinu v'chatsu raglechem, veshkamtem v'alachtem l'darkechem. And he says, you know, come, follow me home, be my guests. You know, stay the night, wash your feet, get a good rest, etc. Vayomru lo ki berachov nalin. And the malachim, they say to him, no, we'll stay here, we'll sleep on the street. Vayafatzer bam me'od, and he very much urged them. Vayasurei love, so they turned towards him. Vayavo el beito, vayas lahem mishteh, matzot afa vayachlu. And so then they acquiesce in the end, and they come to Lot's house, and he prepares them a meal, and they stay there. And Rashi there comments, Yashav, that Lot, we said Lot was sitting at the shar, the gate. Ksiv osohaya meniyuhu shofet aleihem. Why does the Pasuk say he was Yoshev, he was sitting? Because that very day, Sodom appointed Lot to be a shofet, to be a judge over them. And the story is ridden with contradictions. On the one hand, we see that Lot was a judge of Sodomite laws, right? Which prohibit hospitality and taking care of others. And yet, on the other hand, he risks his life to save them. And not only that, but the malachim, what's their initial response? Nah, no thanks. We'll stay here. You know, there's a cozy corner here. We're taken care of. You go on your merry way. You know, we'll sleep in the square. And Lot has an out. You know, I offered. They said no. You know, I got the mitzvah. Now let me go on my merry way. But what does he do? He's off the hook, and yet he urges them, no, please come home with me. I'd love for you to be my guest tonight. You know, but the contradictions grow deeper, and the story even stranger.
So Lot never really, he never adopted the stuff, you know, how they act in Sodom.
So we see, obviously, that he has the values of Hachnas Sorachim from Avraham. Uh-huh. But yet, we're going to see how the story gets even stranger. But on the other hand, he's a judge of Sodomite law. And Sodomite law isn't, oh, you can't hurt somebody, you can't kill somebody. It's like, no hospitality, you can't take care of people. So just in that those two psukim, we see, you know, such a contradiction.
Why are they asking if they know he's, you know, not just like them?
Okay, so and we're going to continue because it grows even stranger. Terem yishkivu va'anshei ha'ir anshei Sodom nasovu al habayit. Right before they even get to rest, the people of Sodom come to the house. Minar vazekein kol ha'am mekatzei. Right, basically from young to old, from every corner, there's like a mob scene outside of Lot's house. Vayikru alot, and they call out to Lot, vayomru lo, ayeya anashim asher ba'oi lecha halayla, where are those people that came to you tonight? Hotiei meileinu v'ne de'im otam, bring them out, let us know them. Vayitzei aleihem Lot, heftacha hadelet sagar acharav, so Lot goes out, he closes the door behind him, vayomer, al na achai tereu, he says, please, my brothers, don't act wickedly. I have these two daughters, they have not known man. I'll give you my two daughters, you do what you see fit, and don't touch these men. You know, v'asu lahem ketov v'nechem, rak lo nasim ga'el al tasu, because they have come under the shelter of my roof. Basically, you know, leave these two men alone, and I'll give you my two daughters, and you do what you see fit with these girls. I'm saying seriously, Lot cares so much about this mitzvah, and he wants to protect these guests, yet what is he willing to do? He's willing to sacrifice his two daughters for it and allow them to be violated. You know, so we see how bizarre this story is. You know, that he so cares about this, and yet, on the other end, he's willing to give his daughters. You know, like Chazal tell us in the Medrash in Tanchuma, Ra'a lo chayu anshei Sodom shtufim bezima. He knew that they were, you know, full of znus, you know, these immoral relationships. Bachar b'sodom liyot osek kemaseihem. So, you know, he chose to live in Sodom. It wasn't for naught. He knew when he was moving to Sodom what the people were about. He, you know, he was interested in possibly being like them. Minayin shekein hu ayomer lahem la'anshei Sodom, hinei na li shtei benot v'gomer benoheg shebaolam adam moser atma lahariga al benotav va'al ishto v'oreg o neharag v'ze benotav l'talel bahem. And how do we see this? How do we see the perverseness? Because normally, and that he went and that Lot went after these, you know, immoral ways, because normally, what is a person's first reaction if someone wants to harm his children or his wife or violate them? He's willing to give his own life to take care of his family. And yet, what is Lot doing in this situation? Don't touch these guests that I don't even know, but I'll give you my daughters. You know, do what you see fit.
But did not really know what Sodom was like. He just wanted to live because it was better for his cattle.
Well, that's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash says he obviously had these proclivities. Look what he's doing in this situation. Not only that, but within the act of Lo Tachnasas Orchim itself lies a contradiction. Lo tells the Malachim, V'linu v'rechatsu raglechem, right? Rest and wash your feet. And Rav Shredron quotes Rashi, explains Mafarish Rashi, the ki darkan shel b'nei adam lalun tzchila v'achar kach l'chotz, right? Is that the normal way? Come be my guest, sleep, and then wash your feet? Normally, you had a long journey, take a shower, and take a rest. V'ochare Avram amar lahem tzchila v'rachatzu raglechem. And if you look back to when Avram Avinu did the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, what did he say first? He said, wash your feet.
So Lot is definitely slightly off.
Yeah, clearly. clearly there's something off. Elam of Erashi, Kachamar Lot, Im Nashim O Anche Stone, Vayeru, Shekfar Rachatsu, Raglechem, Valilu Alai, Vayumukfar, Abrushne Yamim, O Shlosha, Sheba Ulevetra, Vlo Datanu. So Lot had this, like, you know, calculation, and he said, well, what happens if the people of Sodom come and they see my guests, they've already washed their feet, they've already refreshed themselves, then they'll say, oh, Lot, it seems to me that, or it seems to us, that your guests have already been here for a little bit of time, maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days, because they've already washed their feet. You can't just tell me that they just came in. Oh, they're just here for a few minutes, a few hours. Clearly, they've been here for some time. And you didn't tell us. Lefichach amar mutav sheyit akvu kan ba'aveik raglehem sheyu nir in kimo shabu achshav. So therefore, it's better that we push off the washing of their feet, so that if the people of Sodom come, it looks like they just came. Lefichach amar linu v'achar kach rachatu. And therefore he says, first take a rest and then wash your feet. Refresh, clean yourself up. But Rav Shradran, he asks on this, but if this is the reason, then why should they even wash in the morning? You know, that's going to present the problem all over. But it's better for them not to wash at all, right? If the logic is, well, when they wash their feet and then the people of Sodom come, they're going to say, wait a second, these people didn't just come. They're here for a while. Then what happens if the people of Sodom come in the morning after they just washed their feet? Wouldn't it be better that they shouldn't wash their feet at all? That's what Rav Shadron asks, which makes so much sense. If this is Lot's logic, then better to say, nah, they shouldn't wash their feet at all. Ella, shelod halazela madmi darko shel Avram Avinu, Avinu, ulava shalom. Masha bikeish lahem lerchot raglechem lo italam an noch chotam shel orchim, ki im hayazer rak lamaan noch yotam shel orchim lo hayalot mistakena avor achita ad kidei mesiras nefesh. Ella kimo she Avram Avinu amar verchatzu raglechem. ומפרש רשי שם, הטעם שחשש שמה עובדי עבודה זרה הם, שמשתחווים לאבק שברגליכם. And he says that this whole thing about washing the feet, he learned obviously from Avram Avinu. And when he asked them to do this, it wasn't, just for that the guests should be more comfortable. Because if it was just for they should be more comfortable, he wouldn't push them to the point that he had to be, would be Masiras Nefesh, that there had to be some level of self-sacrifice, that maybe he would get in trouble, right? Obviously, there has to be something more here than just making them a little bit more comfortable. And he says that this is the same reason why Avraham Avinu asked his guests to wash their feet, which is what Rashi explains, because he thought that maybe these people, these guests, were idol worshippers, and they would worship the dust on their feet. Kach gam lot exid al hekpid al knisat avodah zarah l'toch beito kimo Avraham. And therefore, in the same vein, similarly, Lot was makpid on what? The bringing in of idolatry into his house, just like Avraham. Umachmat zeh amar sheyechartu raglechem lasir avodah zarah shebergleim. And it was that, for that very reason, because he was concerned about avodah zarah, because he was concerned of bringing in idolatry into his house, that he urged his guests to wash their feet, just like Avram Avinu. Ela shebe'emes haya makbid al avodah zarah, avalo haya makbid kol kach. So, even though Lot was makbid, he was careful about avodah zarah, he wasn't so careful like Avram Avinu. And therefore, what we see in the Pesukim, well, whereas Avram said, wash and then rest, Lot said, rest and then wash. Because while he was concerned somewhat about the Avodah Zarah, like he learned from Avram Avinu, he wasn't as concerned as Avram Avinu, and therefore, the order is different. So we see that Lot's actions are really full of contradictions. On the one hand, he could be a judge in Sodom based on their cruel laws. And on the other hand, he's Moser Nefesh. He's willing to sacrifice himself in order to perform the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, of inviting guests. You know, and in his Mesiras Nefesh, in his sacrifice to perform the mitzvah, he's willing to give over his daughters to the wicked, wayward people of Sodom. He cares about Avodah Zarah, and he's makbid, he's particular about it, but not too makbid, meaning, you know, he makes the calculation that it's better to wait to wash until morning to get rid of it, to protect himself, you know, if the people of Sodom find out. So while he does care, you know, he kind of makes his own calculation that I care, but, you know, we can wait another couple of hours till the morning and then it will be better for me, okay? So how can we understand Lot and all of these contradictions? So Rav Shadran in a Sefer Leif Shalom, he explains, Zehu pri ba'usav shel oso shekar'u lo chazal ta'ava yivakesh nifrad. Zeh Lot shenifrad me'avraham u'bachar besedom achmamat tavato. We can explain this as a person, like Chazal says, you know, a person who goes after his desire, he separates. This person is Lot, right? Why did Lot separate from Avraham? Because he had certain taivas. He had certain desires. You know, and even though he had desires, he didn't want to totally break clean from Avraham because he had a conscience. Right? He has his conscience that he has to answer to. Ubana la'atzmo ideologia lasot gesher bein acharidim l'dvar Hashem l'tamidei Avraham l'vein anshei Sodom. And so therefore, in order to do this, he has to appease his conscience. Lot has certain desires. He wants to break free of this lifestyle, but yet he has his conscience. So what does he do? He builds this new ideology that's kind of this gesher, this bridge between, you know, the Haredim, you know, the people who care very much, the Talmid and the students of Avram Avinu, and the opposite extreme, the wayward people of Sodom. The kains are kam shal rishayim kol chayim b'choshech minister. And this is the way of the Rishonim, that they live their life in darkness. You know, they're kind of like things are closed off from them. They're hidden from them. The proper ways. V'yisod kol zeh hu mehotam osim batorah umitzvos kibatoch shalahem zeh efshar v'zeh yefshar. Umosiam hatayrim vechashbonot shonim umishonim. And what is the yisod of this? Where do we see this? When a person comes and they take the Torah and they take the mitzvos and they make it quote unquote their own, right? This is allowed, but this is not allowed. They find heterim. They find, you know, ways to allow certain things. They make chashbonos. They make different calculations. Some of them are different. Some of them may seem strange. They have all these calculations of why I could do this and why I can't do that. And, you know, they try to kind of come up with some sort of quote-unquote, in their minds, logic to what they're doing. And what do they think of themselves? We are the wise ones of the times, right? We know what we're doing. We found the right way of how to act and how to interpret what we're supposed to be doing. But in the end, whether it's then or whether it can be generations later, these people who think that they are so wise, they become, you know, the laughing stock. Lot thought about Avram Avinu with all the honor that was due to Avram. Avram was chashev, and Lot noticed and recognized that. Avram is so chashev, but yeah, he's so important, but he's so extreme. Kitzoni means extreme. And he's a little bit outdated. He's a little bit too naive, you know? Kimo shekol hamegashrim v'ani hu hapikeach hagadol. But now I am the one I'm enlightened. I am the wise one. Ani hamoderni. I'm the modern one. You know, Avraham, while he's great and I love him, he took such great care of me, he's outdated, he's extreme, he's naive. I am the modern one. I am the one who knows how to make a shiluv between the Torah and Olam Hazeh. I know how to make the right balance between these two things, how to, you know, take the mitzvos and to and avas abrios, loving humanity and mankind, and I know how to find the proper balance between all of these things. So Lot had certain taivas, but he wasn't ready to give up on his heritage from Abraham. So basically, what did he do? He built his own ideology. He found heterim, he found allowances, and he made all sorts of calculations. You know, Avram was simply old, he was outdated, he was too extreme, too charedi. I am Lot, I am the pikeach, I am going to modernize it, and I'm going to find the right balance of how we should approach Torah and mitzvos. Hashem tells Lot, pikeach be'enecha ataha. Lot, you are a pikeach. You think that you are so wise and enlightened in your own eyes. You know, what's going to be of your enlightened ways and your how wise you are? Lebasov tinoko chalbeit rabbanan mesachkim v'korin. You know, in the end of the day, what's going to happen? The tinokos of Beis Rabbanan, the Jewish children, are going to read your story, Lot, and they're going to laugh. They're going to laugh. They're going to read about what? How you had children with your daughter. They're going to read about the stories that come and they're going to laugh at you. You think, Lot, now what? You're the pikeach? You're this enlightened person and you're going to find the right shiluv? You're going to find the right balance of how we can modernize Torah and mitzvot, how we can connect the Torah with the modern world? What's going to be at the end? You're going to be the laughingstock. The children are going to laugh at you, Lot. Lot not only made his own cheshbonos, which paints a picture and a storyline which is ridden with contradictions, but his middle ground and his modern approach has a tragic ending where his children give him to drink and they become pregnant from him, right? Lot's looking at this and he's trying to adapt some sort of lifestyle that's what he calls the middle ground. We look at it from a step back and we say, this makes no sense. It's full of contradictions. But it doesn't. It's not just a life that's incongruent. But what happens in the end? You know, he has a tragic ending. His daughters make him drunk and they become pregnant from him. And in reality, Lot was the first reformer of Judaism. He thought he was being modern and moderate, but his life of contradictions led to a very messed up family life. And unfortunately, many have not learned this lesson, and they have tried to do just as Lot did. In 1885, the Reform Movement came up with the Pittsburgh Platform, which was a pivotal document that called for Jews to adopt a modern approach to practice their faith. Thus, they did away with practices which the delegates believed to be outdated. The concept that we must adjust the Torah view to mitzvot to fit it in with societal views is dangerous and it's a slippery slope. Unfortunately, the Pew Research Center survey shows this. 6 out of 10 Jews intermarry. And what it means to be a Jew and Jewish identity is eaten away at. Large majorities of American Jews think that being Jewish means remembering the Holocaust or leading a just and ethical life. You know, it's no wonder that they intermarry. We have knocked away at the core and the foundation of our religion, and that being Jewish means very little. You know, while it's important to remember the Holocaust, if you think that being Jewish means remembering the Holocaust, then we've lost what our people stand for and what we believe in. You know, it was very interesting and very actually eye-opening. When we lived in Israel, I worked in Shalavim, and I took the bus to Shalavim is in Malcha, but it's like kind of on top of the mall, many, many, many steps. So I was on the bus to work, and I hear these girls talking behind me. I think they're trying to get to the mall, but they don't really know, you know, where they're going. So I say to them, oh, I hear you're speaking English. You know, can I help you? And they tell me, oh yeah, we're trying to get to the mall. Etc. So I say, okay. I said, well, this is not exactly the bus that goes to the mall, but if you get off with me, I'll show you the steps to take down to the mall. So they got off with me, these three girls, and I'm just talking to them, making conversation. They were in Israel, also in a type of their seminary year, their gap year, and they were studying in the conservative seminary that's, you know, right behind, I don't know if it's called the Leonardo Plaza, you know, that big building on the left side coming up from the Kotel. So I said, oh, you know, only in Israel you could do this. I said, you know, I've been there. I totally know what it means to be in a country where you don't know as many people. Here's my phone number. You know, if you ever want to come for Shabbos, give me a call. So, and we left it at that. And of course, how it always plans out, it's Friday afternoon, and I'm a little sick, but they call. And if they call, I obviously have to have them. So they came for Shabbos, and it was really beautiful. We actually stayed a very late Friday night talking, and just talking about ideas, talking about, you know, what they're there, what they're studying, what the conservative movement is. And it was actually very opening, eye-opening, because they basically were saying that, you know, that, like, as the generations evolve, basically it seems like every year or every so often, the leaders of the conservative movement get together and they're constantly trying to modernize and reevaluate, you know, what they follow and what they believe. So what came out was basically that the Judaism that they are keeping may be very different than what their grandparents did, even within just that amount of time. And even for these girls, it was actually, you know, was actually a little bit puzzling. Some of them were just kind of there. I don't know how much they were into the movement, but there was one girl that seemed, I would say, quote unquote, very frum and very into the movement. And she expressed how that was troubling for her. You know, how can it be that I, you know, keep kosher or don't keep kosher in a very different way than my grandparents had to? How could it be that things are constantly changing? In fact, one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, one of the 13 principles of faith that we say every day is Ani Ma'amin Be'Emunah Shleimah Shezos HaTorah. I believe with complete faith that this is the Torah. Lo Tehi Mukhlefes V'Lo Tehi Torah Acharis Be'Eis HaBorei Yitzbarach Shemo. We're not going to switch it out. There's not going to be another Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is it. These 613 laws, this is it. They're not changing. The Torah is eternal and it's unchanging. And I may apply the Torah to the modern world, but I cannot modernize the Torah. You know, and though we don't identify with other movements outside of Orthodoxy, you know, we have to be very careful that these thoughts don't creep into our head or our homes or our practices, thinking or saying, can't the Torah be more open, more modern, more moderate? Or is this what God really wanted? Is it important? Isn't it just important to be a good person? Isn't that what God wants? Or, you know, I generally do this, but, you know, are all the details really that important? Does it really make a difference? That presents a danger not only for ourselves and our behaviors, but it can greatly impact our children. I heard from Rav Yaakov Horowitz once. He spoke about, you know, children going off the derech, and he basically gave these children a survey. You know, he said, obviously, the children who go off the derech, not because of trauma, not because of some sort of sexual abuse or, you know, crazy thing that happened to them, but the regular children that go off the derech, he gave them a survey to try to find out, you know, what was it that sent you off the derech? And one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, the reasons that came up again and again from a lot of the kids was seeing incongruence and contradictions in their home and from their parents in the way they act, which, you know, so once we open the door to modernizing and choosing and excluding, there is no telling what and where the fallout will be. You know, what it can lead us to do or what it can lead our children to do. You know, as we see what happened in the end with Lot and his daughters. It wasn't just, you know, his incongruous life, this life of contradictions. And it wasn't just that he was willing to sacrifice his own daughters, which is, again, part of, you know, a crazy approach. But what happened in the end to his family and the fabric of his family? His daughters saw it fit to make him drunk and to become pregnant with him, from him. You know, and therefore, it has to be our firm belief and something we proclaim daily, Ani Ma'amin, I believe. Lo Tehi Torah Mechlefet. There's not going to be another change in the Torah. This is it. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and this is what I'm going to transmit to my children so that, you know, my children and my grandchildren not only stay in the fold, but they upkeep the beliefs and the things that I keep and that I sacrifice for and that my parents and that my grandparents have sacrificed for. And we keep the continuity of who we are and what we believe.